You know, it's interesting. Some of you are saying, okay, that's the last one. Others are saying, well, this is the first one. There's something that, is there a speaker, a commencement speaker at their graduation? No? Yeah, or do the seniors do that? Okay. Hold on just a minute. Most of what commencement speakers say sounds like this. So it's always, you never want to do that sort of thing and just be more noise for them. But it occurs to me that some of the sermon today could easily be construed to be a commencement service, not just for the seniors. It could be a commencement service for all of us, and certainly for me as well, and for Jane as well. But there goes the title of the message: What to Do When Life Refuses to Follow Our Agenda. Now, if the seniors haven't found this out yet, they will shortly, that life doesn't always follow the route. I noticed that Denise did them a little favor where she didn't ask him, where are you going to be 20 years from now? Because that's always kind of funny to hear that and then to see where people end up. I don't know if that's true for anybody here. Even like they used to say that people in college would change their majors two or three or more times before they got done. I'm just glad that my son went from a psychology major as a freshman and sophomore to a metallurgical engineering that actually pays him to work. But even though it did add about a semester to his college career, but such things happen. But life doesn't always follow the agenda that we set out or we intend. And I think that's pretty normal. John piles a whole bunch of Jesus' teachings in those chapters 13 through 17 in the Gospel of John, the upper room. They're at the Passover meal, and Jesus is talking and talking and talking. And John puts all these lessons right in those in that setting, because Jesus, for John, it's important for people to understand that Jesus isn't going to be here anymore, and this is what you have to know before you take off. And then he says, I have much more to say to you, but you can't stand it. You can't handle it now. Now, there's no way that I could ever be confused with Jesus, but after 11 years with only two more Sundays to preach, I'm feeling a little bit like Jesus might have in the upper room, according to John. There's a lot more. Now, it isn't the case where you can't handle it now, although I could probably start dishing out stuff that none of us would want to handle again. And that would be nobody any good. It's just that there's so much more, and when you get to this point, even the seniors, maybe you experience that. Oh, I would love to have stayed in high school another year to take that class or that one or that one. Certainly, that's the way it is with college sometimes. Just ask some parents who have paid tuition for year upon year upon year. But it's just that you get to this point and there's just a lot. We've faced some daunting challenges together. We've discovered together that God is still in the miracle business. The prophet Malachi shaped up the people by telling him these words of God. Please test me in this, says the Lord of heavenly forces. See whether I do not open all the windows of the heavens for you and empty out a blessing until there is enough. Well, we've kind of put that to a challenge. Not necessarily, we usually read that about the time that we're doing a finance campaign, unfortunately, but it also speaks about grace. And isn't it true that God has enough grace? And there's abundance in that grace. And when we just challenge it and say, okay, God, here it is. I'm at my wit's end. What can you do? And it's at that level that Malachi and Paul come close together. when Paul is talking about we have access by faith to this grace in which we stand through him, and we boast in the hope of God's glory. But not only that, we even take pride in our problems. We even take pride in our problems. There's the Apostle Paul, the same one who sings when he's in prison, embraces debates with about the gospel to the point that he has to get out of town in the middle of the night. He even celebrates the shipwrecks one after another. Pretty soon you'd think they would figure out, don't let that guy on the ship. But this guy who celebrates his troubles and problems, the challenges. Why? Well, to the graduate, it may be a call to reality. Graduation time, pomp and circumstance, smiles, diplomas, degrees, hats in the air. You all know that. And the commencement speakers tell the young, you're amazing. You're awesome. You've got what it takes to straighten out the world. You're the best and brightest leaders for a new generation. And then we have the Apostle Paul saying it's by God's grace, and we even celebrate our troubles and our problems and our shortcomings, the trials of life. I think we hear those words as graduates so often that we're awesome and we've got the whole world figured out and we're the answer to everything that's wrong. Maybe that's why there's so much alcohol at graduation receptions. It's the only way to tolerate it. Subsequently, we could just hear the Christian message from Paul. If Paul delivered the commencement speech, it would be more likely like this. Pretend. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. He always starts his letters that way. He'd probably start his speeches that way too. I don't know. And then he'd go on. Listen, all you graduates, I'm not going to lie to you. You actually don't have what it takes. Neither do I, nor do all the teachers, friends, and illustrious guests sitting here today. If you're feeling a little anxious today, good. You should be. Now, in Paul's commencement speech, he would tell some jokes or something, or tell an anecdote about his life, because he wants to hold that point for a while, and then he would move on. But listen, you and I aren't left to our own resources all by ourselves. There's an amazing holy power at work in the world. A power that God pours out on those who ask and those who trust. No, despite what your diploma parchment says, you aren't cool as you think you are, but God is way cooler than you ever thought he was. And then the Apostle Paul might even mention Ascension Day, which, by the way, just happened this week. I'm sure everybody held a special meal for that. Jesus is flying up at 40 days since the resurrection, and he's been teaching and preparing the apostles, and now he's leaving and entrusting this new chapter to them. He doesn't say to the disciples when he's ascending into heaven, hey, you guys got what it takes. What does he say? Wait for the power that will come on high, then you'll have what it takes, and you can do what you need to do. You need to wait for the Holy Spirit to come upon you. You need to wait for God's timing. There are many times, many big moments in our lives when we wonder if we're up to the challenge, up to what lies ahead. Do we have what it takes to do the things the world needs doing? The tendency is to suck it up and tell ourselves or for others to tell us, don't worry, you've got what it takes. It'd be truer and wiser counsel if someone said, don't be ridiculous. You don't have what it takes, and neither do I. But God does. And God has the power you will need, and God will not refuse to lend that power. Ask for the power you need and wait for its coming. It will come. Now, these are not days of trouble or trial. There are some changes coming, but these are days of assessment and reflection. These are days of remembering and working with God to create the church that will be faithful in the next years. These are days to be reminded that when the world doesn't stay in the confines we had in mind, that a change of plans produces endurance. Endurance produces character. Character produces hope. And this hope does not draw us, put us to shame. In a book written by a guy who had a mountain climbing accident, and actually he landed on his feet, kind of, but he was just about 2 inches shorter after impact. All of his back just compressed because he fell a long ways. But he quoted from the Old God Book 2. Now, some of you admit that you're old and wise. You remember when, if God was in a movie, it had to be George Burns, right? Yeah. So George Burns played God, and he's asked by a little girl why bad things happen. And God, or George Burns, whichever you prefer, answers, "That's the way the system works. Have you ever seen an up without a down? Or a front without a back? A top without a bottom? You can't have one without the other. I discovered that if I take away sad, I take away happy too. They go together. Now, if someone has a better idea, I hope they put it in the suggestion box." I think that's prayer. We are called to make the best of all the circumstances of our lives, whether we're graduates or whether we can't remember when we graduated, whether we're a first-time graduate or if we are the second time around or more. We're called to make the best of it. At the age of 16, there's this story that Booker T. Washington wanted to go to school. No money, no wherewithal. This is 1872. Civil War is, you know, still smoldering out there. And Booker T. Washington wanted to go to school. And so he went to the Hampton Institute in Virginia. He walked a week to get to the Hampton Institute. And he got there, and he was unkempt. He was dirty and probably a little smelly by that time, even in those days of 1872. He had no wherewithal. He had no resume. And so the admissions director, I don't know if this is how they did it at Morningside, but the admissions director in 1872 at Hampton Institute said, "That room next door needs to be cleaned. Go clean it." And he went over there, and I don't know if any of the seniors had to do this either. And he cleaned that room. And when he got that room clean, he cleaned it again. And when he got that room clean, he cleaned it again. And eventually, he went and he said, "The room is prepared for you." The guy came in with his gloves, even the top of the door frames, and found no dust anywhere. He was admitted to school. Make the best of it. Sometimes it doesn't pay to ask why. Why me? Why now? Do what? We just do it. We make the best of it. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, "Like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, serve one another with whatever gift each of you has received." Just this week, I think it was to Becky Young on her birthday, I sent a note that, so this is going to be old hat to you. And you might have to tell me what I actually sent because it's not coming to me right now and I didn't write it down because it was so in my brain. We are each given gifts to share with the world and make the world a different and better place. And we become impoverished if we fail to share those gifts. And so even if we're graduating and we think, and somebody's going to make us think we've got the world by the tail, it's what we do for others that makes the difference in our lives and in the world. 11 years ago, and it would have been about exactly last weekend, my daughter graduated from Simpson College. I was asked to give the benediction at that commencement, and And I just thought that this benediction that I gave, which actually showed up at annual conference years later, someone referring to it, and he said he couldn't remember what the commencement speaker said. I told you. But anyway, but this was the benediction I used then, and I have kept in front of me since then. May the Lord torment you. Can you imagine telling this to college graduates? It was kind of fun. But anyway. So listen up, Kelly. May the Lord torment you. May the Lord keep before you the faces of the hungry, the lonely, the rejected, and the despised. May the Lord afflict you with pain for the hurt, the wounded, the oppressed, the abused, the victims of violence. And may God grace you with agony, a burning thirst for justice and righteousness. May the Lord give us courage and strength and compassion to make ours a better world, to make our community a better community, and to make our church a better church. And may we do our best to make it so, even when the agenda is not ours. And after we have done our best, may the Lord grant us peace. Amen. And I would, at this point, I was going to do it when the graduates were done, but they were hustled back to their seats and everything. And can we just pause for a prayer for those graduates in the house and those out of the house? Let us pray. God, you are full of truth and knowledge, and by your wisdom only we are taught the way and the truth. Bless the graduates, those gathered in this room and those who are not here, those from Tipton and those beyond, those who are graduating today at North Cedar and other places, those who have graduated, and not only those from high school but college as well. We thank you for those who taught and worked beside them and all who supported them along the way, whether that be by teaching, bus driving, being the lunch lady, or paying tuition. Walk with the graduates as they move forward in life. Transform their anxiety into energy and conviction, and give them grace in times of confusion of purpose and direction. Strengthen their talents and skills. Instill in them a confidence in the future where energies may be gathered up and used for the good of all people, for the sake of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. And may we dedicate our lives to the benefit of the world, because we become impoverished if we fail to use our gifts for the blessing of other people. Now, before we receive the offering, I'm going to lift up the little registration sheet, because I failed to do that earlier. Notice that this Thursday is the last day of your first year of owning Little Friends Preschool. And we are celebrating Wednesday night, hosting a picnic for all the families of Little Friends, and we need as many people from the church to be there as possible so that they know that this is not just a few people supporting these families, but it's all of us. Now, it's not going to be cuisine. It's not going to be gourmet. It's going to be better. Hot dogs, beans, chips. Doesn't get any better than that. But we want to know how many people are there so that we get enough dogs there. And so if you can be there, 5:30, we serve from 5:30 to 6. There might be a little program at 6, but you get to meet the families of the children whose lives have been affected by your generosity and your willingness to take the ownership of Little Friends Preschool. And so just fill this thing out. There's some other things that we need some workers for. And I'm gonna give you one other thing right now. We talk about commitment making a difference. This year, during Sunday school, we've had three gigs and two additional adult Sunday school classes meeting during Sunday school. That's five adult groups. We have had in the nursery every Sunday but one a young gal, Hannah Hollitz. She missed. And then she stays. Now, we paid her for Sunday school, very modestly. And then she stayed for church to help in the nursery every Sunday. If you know Hannah, you might want to give her a real big pat on the back, okay? So, anyway, what can we give for the glory of God?